beyond human understanding. They have to be taken on faith. They have to be taken on belief. Sometimes we can try, but sometimes it is impossible to understand things. Why do we search for answers in belief outside of faith when something was obviously divine intervention? Why? Because we've been trained to look at supernatural causes as not real, not miraculous, not human. But that's the whole point, brothers and sisters. Things happen. God does things. God intervenes in a supernatural way. Now, let's remember, let's define this term. Supernatural literally means above the natural, from God. If you're talking demonic, that's a whole other word. It's called preternatural. That's not what we're discussing today. But we can see things. We can see God's hands in the small things. We sing about miracles. We sing about, you know, God walking with us and us seeing God at the last minute. God, I just had what they used to call a Freudian slip. I see somebody coming in at the last minute, and that's just, boom, it came out of my mouth. But anyway, brothers and sisters, let's move on. An obvious act of God is not human. Why do you think God whittled down the number of Gideon's forces? That's Book of Judges, chapter 7. Why did he do that? So that he would not think himself the bringer of victory. When God does something, he wants us to understand it is him, it is he that does it. So that we won't give credit to ourselves, our own smarts, our own religiosity. God is responsible for the miraculous events that occur, even if he uses natural means. Now, we know in the Christmas story that a virgin conceived, miraculous. Well, we're going to be talking about something equally miraculous, but not in the same manner. You see, even if God uses natural means, he is still the author and source of miracles in our lives. First, a little background. Luke 1 reads in verse 5 through 7. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abia, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. These are Levites, folks. Okay? They are going, as we're going to see, they're going to be working in the temple. Verse 6. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. Now, folks, we see throughout Scripture that God takes people who love Him and are close to Him and performs miracles. But we also see folks that are a little rough around the edges. Think of the disciples. But yet God still performed miracles through them, didn't He? God can use whoever He chooses to use in whatever way He chooses to use. But your heart has to be willing. God does not force us to do anything. He looks for a willing heart. And here Zacharias and Elizabeth are willing, obedient members of the house of Israel who are doing what God has called them to do. And verse 7 says, and they had no child because that Elizabeth was barren, and they both were now well stricken in years. God has a habit throughout Scripture of surprising older people with bundles of joy. Anybody sweating out there? Okay. But there's always a reason for it. We go back to the birth of Isaac. We go back to the birth of Samuel. We go back to the birth of Jeremiah. We go back to the birth of many of the prophets. John the Baptist, if you want to move into the New Testament. Miraculous things, and that's who we're going to be talking about here is John. There was that righteous man and woman in the Levitical line who served God, Zechariah and Elizabeth, but I'm going to shorten it. We're just going to call them Zach and Liz, okay? Is that okay with everybody? They lived their faith and they stood blameless before God. Now, this was before Christ did what Christ did. So they were faithful in their works, in their positions, in their righteousness. They stood blameless. They did everything the way it was supposed to be done under the old covenant. But they had no children. And we have all learned that in those times, a lack of offspring was considered a sort of a curse. There would be nobody to take care of them in their old age. There would be nobody to carry on the family line, and that was a big deal. And so we can read into this that they were a little heartbroken about the matter. But we know in hindsight that this was so that God's promise would be fulfilled. They were old, but like I said, we've seen this before in Abraham and Sarah. But you see, just like with them, in the proper time, God would send another miracle. And Zach was going about his duties in the temple. But something miraculous occurred. And it came to pass, verse 8, that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, I'll explain that in a second, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without, that means outside the tabernacle, without at the time of incense. So, a course was think in military terms, it was a regiment. It was a platoon. It was a group of Levitical priests who were assigned specific duties at certain times. And they had their leaders, and Abia was Zacharias' course leader. And his duty was to burn incense before the Lord in the temple. And he would go inside the holy place. Now, not the Holy of Holies. Remember, on the inside of the court, you had the laver and you had all this stuff. And inside the curtain, you had the candlestick and you had the altar and you had the showbread. And then on the inside, there was the Holy of Holies. Only the high priest could go once a year. You remember the story about him having to tie a rope around his foot in case he was a sinner and he fell dead. They had to pull him out. This was not that. This was just outside that, to burn incense before the Lord. And everybody would pray at that time that came. So old Zach went in to burn that incense. But while he was there, everybody prayed. Nothing unusual yet. But that's about to change. Verse 11, and there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zechariah saw him, he was troubled and fear fell upon him. Can you blame him? Now, it doesn't say that the angel appeared in all his glory and all that stuff. It just says a messenger of the Lord, Angelos, appeared on the right side of the altar. And Zacharias was troubled. What's this guy doing in here? He don't belong in here. But not only was his heart troubled, a godly fear fell upon him. Now, let me ask you this. If an angel appeared before you and you knew by the power of the Holy Spirit that that was a messenger from God, and folks, angels still appear, don't ever let anyone tell you they don't, what would you do? Would you be afraid? You know, back when I was a fireman, back in the 90s, they had this saying that went around. It said, no fear. And people would take these no fear stickers and put them. Of course, being a southerner, we didn't have no fear. We had ain't scared. And I had that stuck on either side of my fire hydrant, right under my captain bar. It said, ain't scared. You know, and that was like a motivational thing. But folks, there are times when we're in the presence of a holy God when we should be reverentially scared. Not scared like, oh God, you're going to zap me. No, but in a reverential way, Lord, what can I do for you? Lord, use me. Father, what is your will in my life? Things like that is what should be in your head. So in the middle of his shift, That angel, and we're going to find out that was Gabriel, a messenger from God, stood right in front of him. And what did he do? He did what anyone else would do. He got scared. Now, Jewish history is full of angels and visits. Remember we talked about Gideon earlier? There was an angel that came down to him and told him, you old mighty man of valor and all that stuff. And he was the least among his tribe at that point. And here we have God speaking to someone through that messenger, that ambassador from the heavenly courts. So why did Zach act that way? Because it's not every day that an angel comes and interrupts you in the middle of work. It's not every day that happens. So there must be a reason. And this is why Zach was not only scared but also troubled. What was going on here? Verse 13. But the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. Now we know this, because later on when Mary comes to visit Elizabeth, who celebrates the baby in the womb? Jumped and leaped with joy. Verse 16, And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God, and he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias, or Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Well, this was a fine how do you do. His wife was going to have a youngin. After all these years. Could this be true? Would Yahweh grant him and Liz the answer to their prayers? Absolutely. But in accordance with His will and His plan. That's why he waited so long. For as we hear from Paul, at the proper time, God sent His Son. It was the right time in history. You know, we don't need to have conjecture and guessing, but you know, at any other time, there would have been other problems. Yes, God could have overcome them. But this was the perfect time in history. And the Son of God needed a forerunner that would come in the spirit and power of Elijah. We remember when we studied Elijah on Sunday nights, the miracles that he had, the calling down fire and the getting to people and saying, you know, to Ahab and Jezebel, these are evil things. He stood up and he called people back to the Lord. And that's what this baby would do. God does miracles even today. Not the showy, look how blessed I am types of miracles, even though that is possible. For the most part, but quiet only between you and God type miracles, whereby we can know that it is God alone who has accomplished the task. Zacharias was filled with trouble, fear, and now doubt. He had questions. Sudden doubts filled his mind and heart, and human understanding crowded his consciousness. He doubted God's messenger. That's why the name of this sermon was Questioning God. You see, even we, sometimes when God does something great and miraculous and supernatural for us, well, how'd that happen? That's usually the first thing that comes in most folks' mind. Maybe not in those words, but in that spirit. Verse 18, And Zacharias said unto the angel, Whereby shall I know this? For I'm an old man, and my wife well stricken in years. He tells Gabriel, and Gabriel's going to identify himself in a second. Are you kidding me? Look how old I am. How's this going to happen? I'm old, my wife's old. Things don't work the way they used to work. I don't understand this. Well, it's like Zach said, I want to believe you, but how can I be sure? I'm old. Stuff don't work, as we said, the way it used to. Give me proof. Show me a sign. Wrong things to say, but understandable in his position. If God lets us know without a doubt that He is behind something that happens to us, both positive and negative, such as discipline, let us give Him glory and praise in that moment of our recognition of His hand in the event. The messenger shot back. Verse 19, and the angel answering said unto him, I am Gabriel, that stand in the presence of God, and am sent to speak unto thee, and to show these glad tidings. And behold, thou shalt be dumb, and not able to speak, until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. Oh, Gabriel got around. If you remember the Old Testament, he spoke to the prophet Daniel. And he would, a couple of months down the road, visit a young Jewish girl named Miriam, or as we call her, Mary, and give her even better news. But you know, in my redneck mind, I can imagine Gabriel saying this, all right, to not believe me is dumb, therefore you're going to be dumb. You just stay dumb for a while till what I have said actually happens. Now, I know he didn't say that, but that's what my mind thinks sometimes. He should have said that. But you know, either way, the outcome was the same. God's plan was still going to be accomplished. Now, we humans must realize that our doubts and our fears do not stop the hand of God. When He decides He's going to do something, He's going to do it. Now, should we be fatalistic? Whatever happens, happens, and there ain't nothing we can do about it. No, God wants us to pray. God wants us to worship. God wants us to intervene on behalf of people. He wants us to do those things. The Bible is full of those examples. But in overall, God's plan is still going to happen. You know, when we studied Revelation a while back, you know, I know many people, they read these things and they say, like, God forbid. And they pray, God, don't let these happen in my lifetime and things like that. Understandable. No one wants those terrible plagues and things to happen to them. But you know what? Just like when Peter told Jesus, when Jesus said he was going to be crucified, and he said, no, Lord, may it never be. And he said, get behind me, Satan. You love the things of man and not of God. When God is doing something in your life, enjoy the ride. Because you at that point realize He is with you. He is walking with you. He is in your heart. He is in your mind. He is all around you. And what should your position be? Worship. Gratitude. Praise. Not doubt and fear. Although, it's understandable that you might, in the very first few moments, even Mary said, how can this be since I'm a virgin? But you see, Gabriel saw into her heart as well as seeing into Zacharias' heart. And he saw into Zacharias' heart and saw doubt. But he looked into Mary's heart, as we'll cover later on this month, and saw obedience. Folks, when God is moving in our lives, we are to be obedient. You know, that's why I believe that a lot of times blessings that we're hoping for are slow to come. Gifts that we ask of God may be delayed. Why? Because we're full of doubt and anger and fear and all these things. Or worse yet, we're relying upon ourselves and not upon God. This is what Zach was doing. But you know what? God's plan still happens. Divine interventions still occur. Let us not doubt the loving kindness of God through Jesus, through the cross, through the resurrection. These are all miracles. You know, how many people I have heard, and it really bothers me when they say this, well, you know, if what happened to Jesus really happened, how could a loving God let that happen to somebody who is innocent? Again, get behind me, Satan. God's plan has been all along to give of Himself to His creation so that His creation might be reconciled. And John was going to be the one who went before the Messiah. This was prophesied all the way back in the Old Testament that someone would come in the spirit and power of Elijah, as we mentioned earlier, and would be the forerunner. And he would bring everybody out. And did John do that? Yes. He was a rough-looking critter. He wore that goat hair bridle and camel hair, and he ate locusts, and he hung out down by the river. And he preached. What would we think if I stripped down to my Tarzans and I went out and hung out down here by the river and was, "Hallelujah, praise the Lord, y'all lock me up." If someone didn't beat you to it. But what if I was saying was true? And by doing that, people got turned. It wouldn't be me. It would be the Holy Spirit. And that's the Holy Spirit was in John. Gabriel said that he would be filled with the Holy Spirit. It was that Holy Spirit that caused him to preach, "Repent." It was that Holy Spirit that made him recognize the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And if we are constantly doubting the good things and the great and wonderful things that God is doing, we will not exercise that gift of the Spirit that He gives us. Now, folks, we do see bad things happen. I'm not naive and I'm not a Pollyanna. I know that there's evil in this world. I know sometimes I even participate in it. It breaks my heart when I see brothers and sisters in Christ that are bickering over things and treat each other spitefully. And how can we, as ambassadors of Christ, influence this world in a positive way if such things happen? We start by giving glory to God in all things and in all ways that He gives us the ability to. We need to recognize the daily miracles God grants us to recognize so that we know He is with us. And He is with us. Emmanuel, God with us. You know, when I see posters like that, "Joy to the World" and everything, the first thing that comes to my mind is Jeremiah was a bullfrog. Folks, y'all think I'm old? I'm telling you my age, but I remember, it was an Andy Williams Christmas show. Y'all remember those? And Mac Davis, of all people, was the guest singer. And so they went, "Let's sing Joy to the World." And they started singing "Joy to the World." And he said, no, not that one. So they started off with "Jeremiah Was a Bullfrog." Now that had an impact on me. Okay, as a youngster. Folks, those times have long gone, haven't they? When we can have fun and things like that and not be sacrilegious. Because we're not. There is joy to the world. And can you believe that the person who wrote that, he did not write that as a Christmas song. He wrote that as a praise and worship song. Now, okay, here's where my memory fails me. Who's the guy that founded Methodism? Charles Wesley. It was Charles Wesley's brother. No, John Wesley founded Methodism. Charles Wesley actually wrote that hymn. Okay? And a beautiful hymn it is. Well, what happened after the angel struck him dumb? Well, verse 21 says, "And the people waited for Zacharias and marveled that he tarried so long in the temple. And when he came out, he could not speak unto them, and they perceived that he had had a vision in the temple. For he beckoned them and remained speechless." He was trying to talk. He was probably making all kind of hand gestures and everything. Well, the angel's words came true. God's words and promises always come true, even though the timing belongs to God and not with us. We ask, and in due course, God gives the answer. Our faith must be strong enough to pass the time until we see the answer from God our Father. Imagine old Simeon and Anna in the temple. And Simeon was waiting for Israel's consolation. He prayed that before he passed from this earth, God would let him see the Messiah. And God told him He would. Guess what? He did. But the timing was way late in Simeon's life. Now, if we read further in Luke 1, we see that old Zach went home after work and had relations with Liz. She then conceived the child that would become the forerunner of the Messiah, the man we know as John the Baptist, although I would prefer to call him John the Baptizer, because my grandmother really did think that John was a Southern Baptist. And that ain't that accurate. He was Jewish. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. Luke 7:28 indicates that this John was the greatest man ever born to woman. Who said it? Jesus said it. So therefore it's true. Luke 7:28, "For I say unto you, among those that are born of woman, there is not a greater prophet than John the Baptist, but he that is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he." So the greatest Old Testament prophet, and John was the last, in my opinion, Old Testament prophet, born under the law, is nothing compared to the least that is in Christ. Is John the Baptist going to be in heaven? Yep. He's going to be there. You know, he's got connections because Jesus was his cousin. You know, when you got a cousin in the business, it's a little easier. We laugh at that. Guys, I'm not saying nothing that I've heard preachers say over many years, okay? But that being said, we realize that everything that Jesus did, and the whole book of Hebrews is related to this, is much, much greater than what was accomplished beforehand. Now, what was accomplished beforehand is still the Word of God, and it's still the Old Covenant, but the New Covenant was established in His blood. We just had the Lord's Supper a couple weeks ago. We're going to have it again Christmas Eve. That is our chance as members of the New Testament church to celebrate communion with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Because when we do, in remembrance of Him, we remember His death until He comes. Think about that. He died, but He's coming. And if He's coming, that means He didn't stay dead, right? So we have a hope that nobody else has. And it's the process started. We can argue back during the prophets and everything, but I want to say it really, the rubber hit the road when old Gabriel decided to visit Zacharias one day when he was at work. The angel's words came true. Now what can we learn from Zacharias? And what does this teach us? First, if we have no doubt that God is in the event, we should give Him praise and glory, even if we can't figure it out in a naturalistic way. Folks, we need to lean on and trust God. The Bible tells us to not lean on our own understanding. I mean, folks, people that are supposed to be wise in today's society, they couldn't pour water out of a boot if it was written on the heel. You know, I almost said something else, Brother Allen, so I'm glad the Lord stopped me. That ain't the way the saying goes. We've got people who are astrophysicists getting on TV and saying that a man playing a woman's sport, there's really no difference, and they can do that. These are our leaders, people. Now, we may have elected somebody else in there for a while, but you remember, the swamp is the swamp. And people all over, our governors, our councilmen, everything, there are people that don't know the difference between a man and a woman. How do you relate to that kind of idiocracy? You can't. You found yourself on the truth and you stick with it. Now, you can disagree with somebody politically. I'm not talking about a political disagreement. I'm talking about common sense. All right? Common sense says, you follow my daughter into a bathroom and I see you, you may identify the woman, I'm going to identify as a tooth fairy and knock several of your front teeth out. Folks, I'm not joking. We got to stop this stuff. Okay, that's why we pray and ask God to give us wisdom for the right leaders and for them to have that wisdom and for us to be able to protect and care for those that He puts in our charge, whether you're a man or a woman. So that's the first. Second, allow God's will to work in your life. the benefits far outweigh the doubts that we might experience. The benefits for Zacharias was he finally had a son. And what a son he would be. I wonder if one of the things that Zacharias told John when he was early in life, said, "Son, there's a lot of things in this life you don't need to lose your head over." Think about that for a moment. Third, when God talks to you, whether it be through an angel, whether it be through a friend, whether it be through the Word of God, whether it be through the Holy Spirit, listen. He's talking now. He's talking now. Every time you hear a praise song or a hymn, or you hear a scripture, or you hear a friend talk about God, listen. And then once you listen, what will you do? Will you be like Zacharias and get your worldly cares and concerns and doubts thrown up in there? And, you know, I cannot, as much as I've said this morning, I can't really blame Zacharias. Because if somebody told me something impossible was about to happen, that went against everything I'd lived, he'd lived a long time. He had served God a long time. He knew God did miracles. But to me, how's that going to happen? Gabriel just sat there. "Do you know who I am? I'm Gabriel who stands in the presence of the Lord. And because you doubted, I'm going to give you a sign, all right? You're not going to speak till the child is born." Remember the naming ceremony that they had? We read later on in Luke. "What are you going to call him?" "Oh, they want to call him Zacharias after his dad or whatever." "Nope," he wrote down, "his name is John." And instantly, he began praising the Lord. Read the rest of Luke 1. You have the Magnificat, which is Mary's praise of God. But then you also have Zacharias' praise of God. It's wonderful reading. And it will strengthen you when doubts assail your mind. So, first, if we have no doubt that God is in the event, give Him praise and glory. Second, allow God to work in, will to work in your life. And third, if God talks to you, listen. And if that's the only thing you remember out of this sermon, remember that. When God is talking to you, listen. Praise team. You know, I love the Christmas season. I love the holiday season. And I pray that everybody had a good Thanksgiving. But we need to approach this season, and I've said this every year I've been here, and I'll continue to say it. When we look at a manger, we need to see the shadow of the cross. Because without the cross, the manger didn't mean nothing. The whole reason God is with us is that so He will reconcile His creation to Him. But in that beautiful moment, He gives us a choice whether to follow Him or to be like the rich young ruler and walk away sad. Brothers and sisters, when I say if God speaks to you, listen to Him, that means every moment. If He calls you to make a decision, if He calls you to join the church, if He calls you to start a ministry, whatever He calls you to do, listen. He's not going to call you to do something and not give you the wherewithal to do it. If He calls you to do something, and it will be verified by prayer, Scripture, and the Holy Spirit, then do it. They've always told preacher boys, you know, if God's really called you, then He's going to provide a place for you to preach. And that's true. That's true. But if God calls you, He is going to provide whatever you need to accomplish His will. Don't doubt. Walk and live by the faith that God has given you. We're saved by grace through faith, and that faith is in Jesus Christ our Lord. We're going to have a good Christmas season, brothers and sisters, because God is with us. And Jeremiah and the bullfrog aside, we are going to have joy this season. Let's stand.